Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins. Jesus said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty Father, whose dear Son, on the night before he suffered, instituted the sacrament of his body and blood, mercifully grant that we may receive it thankfully in remembrance of Jesus Christ our Lord, who in these holy mysteries gives us a pledge of eternal life, and who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or in boiled water, but roast it over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it, your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord, for I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. The word of the Lord. We shall read the psalm in unison. I love the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication, because he has inclined his ear to me wherever I call upon him. How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things he has done for me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his servants. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant and the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who had bath does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." But he knew who was to betray him. "For this reason," he said, "not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It was the night before Jesus was going to die. And Jesus knew that he was going to die. What would you do if you had 24 hours left to live? whatever you did would be what was most important to you, wouldn't it? I can tell you one thing, I wouldn't go to Walmart. I would want to be with the people I love, and I'd want to say the things that mattered, because there was no time left. So whatever Jesus did on this night tells us what was most important to him. And he gathers his friends together, and he gives them two gifts, and they're so intimate. When my boys were little babies and they would cry, I would pick them up and hold them, and then automatically you just know you want to put something in their mouth. They need a bottle or something. That's how they comfort themselves. They want to put something in their mouths. Jesus says at the Last Supper, "Little children, I'm only going to be with you a little bit longer." And then he puts something in our mouth. It's the most intimate, most primal way of comforting another person. "Take this, eat it," he says. "This is me." And in this most beautiful way, he takes the Passover meal, which they all knew and loved so well, and he makes it about his love for them. And he gives them a gift which we receive every Sunday. And that gift is recorded in the first three Gospels. But in the Gospel of John, John also says there was a supper, but he doesn't focus on the supper. He focuses on something else. Something that makes us uncomfortable because it's so intimate. He talks about how Jesus wrapped a towel around his waist and then he got down on his hands and his feet and he washed their feet. When you walk around in Jerusalem or in the Galilee, most people in Jesus' day, they were either barefoot or they wore sandals, so their feet were just covered with dirt. This was a messy business to clean another person's feet. There was no dirtier part of them. And Jesus washes Judas's feet. And Jesus gives Judas something to put in his mouth, even though he knows what Judas is about to do. He knows that Judas is about to go out and betray him, and he still washes his feet. Because God's love is so different from yours and mine. God's love is not dependent on what we do. We can do the worst thing in the world, and still God will love us. Jesus loved Judas, and I think he loves him still. And he loves every one of us, you and me, as messy and complicated and full of mistakes as we are, he still loves us. So only once a year we invite you to take part in this ancient ritual where we wash each other's feet, and I know it's a little hard. It makes us uncomfortable, but that's part of it. I know that the disciples must have felt uncomfortable. So if you feel so moved and you see a chair that's free, come and let your feet be washed, and then you will be asked to wash the foot of someone else. And we'll do this as the Spirit moves us, okay? And we'll remember. Amen.
The Lord Jesus, after he had supped with his disciples and had washed their feet, said to them, Do you know what I, your Lord and Master, have done to you? I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you.
Peace is my last gift to you. My own peace I now leave with you. Peace which the world cannot give, I give to you. Peace which the world cannot give, I give to you.
By this shall the world know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another.
Thank you.
Almighty God, we come before you to pray for this world that you have made. Good Lord,
yes.
For all who suffer, for the hungry, the sick, and those who are in pain, I invite you to name aloud those who need our prayers. Good Lord, for peace throughout the world, that all human beings might come to respect and honor one another. Good Lord.
Yes.
For this planet, that we may learn to cultivate and value the resources that you have given us. Good Lord.
Yes.
For the church throughout the world, for the Episcopal Church in Florida, and for this cathedral, our church home, that we may welcome many people to your holy table. Good Lord.
Yes.
For those who have died, I invite you to speak aloud the names of those you love who have died. Good Lord.
Yes.
We thank you for this time to worship, for those that we love, for all good gifts that you have given us, and for every breath that we take. Good Lord.
Yes.
O Lord our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people. In the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. May the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you, good and faithful people, for being here tonight. I'm so grateful that you're here. I want to give a special thanks to our youth. Didn't they do a beautiful job? Thank you so much. And also, there is a very quiet ministry that goes on in this place, and they rarely get thanked, but they do incredible work, and it's work that is ongoing all the time, and that is the Sanctuary Guild, who iron all the linens and wash all the vessels and arrange flowers and decorate the sanctuary. They deserve applause, like the cell phone man. Thank you so much for all that you do. I want to tell you a little bit about what happens next in this service. So we will remember the Last Supper together, and then you'll see that the service ends differently because Jesus was taken from the Garden of Gethsemane. You'll see that the sanctuary is stripped of everything, and our Sanctuary Guild, dressed in black, will strip the whole sanctuary of all of its ornamentation to get ready for what will happen tomorrow when Jesus suffers on the cross. Tonight, there is something called the Watch going on all over the world. People will be praying in Cummings Chapel in half-hour increments all through the night, and we have that sign-up sheet all filled up. And I know Vernon Garrett's planning on staying here all night. God bless you, dear. We also have the Watch in your homes, which is also filled, but you're welcome at any time to wake up and just for a half an hour to stay awake with Christ, because we fell asleep. The disciples went to sleep on him, and so we don't want to do that again. So between the whole body of the church, we hope to stay awake with him tonight. Tomorrow there is a service at 10 o'clock in the morning for children that is very beautiful. And between the hours of noon and 3, as Jesus hangs on the cross, there will be 7 sermons on his 7 last words. People come and go as they can during that time. And then in the evening at 7, Tim Tuller will play a beautiful organ recital that is based on the Stations of the Cross. So you're welcome to, of course, partake in any way that you can tomorrow, and then to make yourself ready for the celebration of Easter on Sunday morning. Walk in love as Christ loved us, and he gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Father, you made the world and love your creation. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. His dying and rising have set us free from sin and death. And so we gladly thank you with saints and angels praising you and singing. We praise you and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again he praised you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, forever and ever. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that he may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John, and he began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.